The following programming is sponsored by Michael Sloan. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Wake up all the teachers.
Good morning, Philadelphia. We're live in the studio with Reverend Michael Sloan and
Makara Sloan.
We have a great show for you today. We're going to get right into it. We're going to have Wanda Davis on the show. She's going to be speaking on credit. And hopefully, we'll have Mr. William Thompson, who'll be talking about insurance. But we're going to get right into all the great things that's going on that we're going to be bringing to our community, the collaboration that is going on is unprecedented with the different faiths that's coming together to talk and bring hope, opportunity, trust, and love. You know, one of the things, Makara, I want to talk about is, you know, we look at radio, TV, and I realize negative news spread faster than positive news. And we see that especially in the African-American community, but that's really everywhere. If you look on the news, the first things they talk about is what? The shootings,
right.
Everything. And you look at radio, if you see how to get ratings up, it's always talking about race. And it's always negative. And a lot of times, I whether it's wrong or right, we know that when you talk about negative things, it sort of catches. But when you talk about positive things, it doesn't have the same pull that negative things
have. Well, what I think it is people are more willing to listen to negative things for a longer period of time. Like very often, news shows, they end on a positive note, but that's like, you know, the kicker, like the last minute, the last 30 seconds. But I think our attention spans just pay more attention to negative news for a longer period of time than it would just happy news. Happy news is happy, but negative news lingers with you sometimes.
I agree with that. Is that something, what did they teach you in college about, you know?
Well, that's what I was leaning into. Like, so usually you'd have your different segments, but they would always say, you know, you end on sweetness. So you always end with, you know, a happy story about a puppy or about, you know, a puppy being reunited with its family or a kid getting adopted. So you never want to end on a bad note is usually what they say, but through the midst of it, yeah, you're going to have some tear jerkers, but you always end on a positive note.
We're going to, I guess, talk about when I went to school. It seems so long ago. It almost seemed like a century ago. And I took up advertising, and one of the things that stood out to me in the book, it was talking about Brooke Shields' mother, and the mother, Brooke Shields, said negative news is way better than no news at all.
Right. Any publicity is good publicity.
And if you just listen to any program, race baiting is the best way to get ratings. So I'm not going to race bait, but I am going to talk about the different races that are coming together to bring hope, trust, love, and opportunity to the community. Mm-hmm. I think that is so powerful. And, you know, it's lost in our community that I think lacks hope, opportunity, and trust. You know, if I was to take a look at, if someone was to ask me a question, or how do we tackle this situation with people shooting one another and, you know, the community just at large just not feeling comfortable, feeling unsafe. People don't trust the police. I look at Camden. Camden was one of the worst communities.
Right.
Actually, one of the worst communities in the world. But yeah, yes, you can actually say Camden was, at least in this region, the worst community to be in. And that community has done a 180. And what I have family that we have family that lives in Camden, and they were politicians in that city. But I look at how they turned it around, and they got rid of their whole entire
police force.
That to me is astonishing, that you, a community that is suffering with so much crime, so much distrust, they fired their whole entire police force. They actually defunded their police. And it worked. It has outstanding results, and it really could be the model for America going forward. Will it or can it work here in Philadelphia? That's what we have to ask ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I think I would have to do more reading on how they did it. So I know, yes, they defunded them, but then they also put the money into, I think, community
yes.
officers and different policies, which usually is what you know, defund means. It just really means to move the resources around. But I do think that I remember when it happened and a lot of people were saying that it's all going to fall apart, and it's years later and the city still stands and they're doing better than ever. So I do think it is something to look at and to, you know, do more research on.
This is what I do know. And I know very little myself, but I was paying attention because we have Reverend Kwamina, who came on the show, who's very familiar with the community,
right,
and what transpired. And I want to bring him back on to talk about what Camden, because he was an integral part of that and has always been a part of the community at large there in Camden. So when you really think about it, they defunded the police. They brought in a whole new system of policing.
Mm-hmm.
And their tactic was, we want to have the community embrace. So one of the things they stopped doing, stop harassing people. They stopped ticketing people. They stopped handing out citations.
Mm-hmm.
And they became more of a helpmate, meaning they're going to go and ask their neighbors, how can we help you? So it was clever what they did. They took out the stigma of police and community relations and said, you know what, we're going to start over new, so you have no reason to distrust
right.
or dislike. Now, of course, the people still didn't trust, but what happened is you had no
right.
harassment.
Right, there's no animosity. Everyone is new. There's no negative connections that were already in place.
Right, and so they began to embrace and began to, you know what, we'll show you better than we could tell you. We're different. But they still had to show that.
Right.
They still had to show that, you know, we are going to be there for you if you need us, if you need help cross. They start doing all kinds of crazy stuff that you just don't see police forces do. You know, Philadelphia is always modeling itself after who? New York.
Right.
Where we have a city right across the bridge who's basically setting a trend. And I believe we need to model that trend, because that trend is about hope, inspiration, opportunity. I love what they're doing. I would love to see our community embrace the police department. And I'm not saying we need to defund, but we definitely need to create what we call harmony with our law enforcement, because that's the only way we can get a hold of this and get ahead of this, what's going on, which is crazy. These young men out here are just lost all respect for themselves, one another, the community, everything.
I will say this, and it might be a hot take for some people. Statistically, I'm not saying this to take away from the murder rate now and the people whose lives were lost now. But when we talk about like today's young men and what they do, statistically, less people are being murdered than 20 years ago. Statistically, murder rates have gone down. Crime rates have gone down. What it really is, in my opinion, is there's a bigger spotlight on it. So the second something happens, we have 24/7 news. And with 24/7 news, you have the ability to report the second a crime is committed. So I am hesitant to say that today's young men are worse off.
How would you know? You're a young buck.
Yes, I'm young, but you can look at old news records. You can look at statistics. Like they literally post the yearly death rate, the yearly murder rate every year. Now you can say you don't believe those statistics.
Hold on a minute. We have an old head that came into the studio. We want his mic to become hot. Mic him up.
I'm just here to visit you today. Just glad to have you part of this station and be on the show.
Who is this? You just come on. Who are you? State who you are.
Troy Baylor from The Morning Show.
Okay. Now they probably recognize your voice anyway.
Yes. Of course.
Troy, why don't you, from your opinion growing up, I know in my growing up here in Philly, we always had young men killing each other. We did because we had gangs. 5OW, so forth. We had a lot of
Tenderloin. Killing.
Yeah, yes. I mean, all Valley. Over. You actually had more gangs. You don't really hear about gangs now, yeah. But we did have. But they didn't just shoot each other. They had other weapons.
They more so fist fight, and then at the end of the day, was back on the corner drinking a beer together. So they were hanging out.
I can't say that exactly. I had a lot of my friends. We're talking about in the 70s. A lot of my friends were killed. So I grew up in a difficult time where the murder rate was really high in the community that I was in. I had classmates that was murdered.
But I think it's more higher now than back then.
I'm curious about that.
The statistics will lie to you, just like the homicide rate. If you would call the medical examiner, they would tell you a certain number because remember, the police department in the city only wants to give out a certain number because
You're right. They
don't want their record to look bad. But the crime rate and the murder rate is just as worse today than it was in the yesteryears because remember, grandmom and grandpa were able to walk down the street without any problem. Then you got to look at now, they always had a code that women and children and babies you don't mess with. But today they're killing women just as quick as they're killing men without a heartbeat.
You know, if you look back in the day, and again, we want to get to positive things, but back in the day, they would kill you for a pair of sneakers. They would kill you. Remember that? If you had certain sneakers, you had the gazelle glasses. They would kill you for those. You had to go. I have one of my best friends, Loretta. They killed him for his gold chain because he was like, no. So I remember he was a sprinter from Bartram, and it was so sad that people would, you know, stoop to something that low over a chain and sneakers and glasses. How do we get here? How do we get there? And we think that, all right, is it that bad now where people are killing each other for glasses and you know, minor stuff? I don't think it's that bad.
No.
So have we come, is it worse? Is it better? I don't know.
Well, that's why I think it's how it's presented, right? And people will always view the past in a nostalgic glass, right? So even if it was bad, you know, you will always remember your positive memories over your negative memories. And when you're in that circumstance, like you said, I wasn't there. I have no idea. Like all I have to go off of is old news records, is newspapers, is you know what has lasted. But whenever you hear of somebody losing their life now, in particular when it is something of the person who's lost their life was not the intended victim. There is a pushback against that. There is, we don't do this, we shouldn't do this. And even when it's on social media, you will see older people commenting, you know, back in my day, that didn't happen. And as far as there being a policy in place or, you know, this is how we do things, I don't know if that's there anymore, right? I'm not within that community, but I stand by saying that I'm not down with the saying that today's young men are worse than the previous generation.
Well, only reason why you can say it's worse because back then we didn't have social media. And
right.
The thing is, they're using the social media platform to do their violent act. But in the upside of this, as your father said, let's talk about the good. Senator Sherrif Street is fighting to get more money in the city to help not just with policing, but with community-based organization. Mm-hmm. And we just was at a meeting with the sheriff and them on yesterday at the NAACP office where they had a shootout. And we're talking about bringing back mentors and positive role models to the community.
You know, that's a hotbed topic. You know, when we look at we know that, I'm going to digress for a second because we have Wanda Davis trying to get on. She's trying to get on is what I'm saying. She said she's having difficulty calling in. So we'll try to hammer out those technical difficulties. But getting back to these hotbed topics, and going on, you know, record to talk about how to handle these issues, I believe meshing the old with the new can actually have an effect. Because when the senior ambassadors of the Federation, when we were handing out brochures, talking to these young men, in particular, I talk about that one day at Alani, Broughton Alani, when they had that big shooting, had 15 people shot. Mm-hmm. Our seniors were out there talking to these young men who got shot before they got shot, saying, you know, we need to, you know, come together. We need to stop killing one another. And some of them had such a emptiness inside, you know, like, you know, keep it moving. We're not interested.
Well, I think most of it come because of broken homes, you know.
Yes.
A single parent home, or some of the kids are just raising themselves.
Right. You're absolutely right. You know, there's no men in their life. And they've lost all respect. So now when you have like an older person who's willing to lay it on the line, so to speak, because our seniors did. And you would think they would be scared after what happened because they were just minutes away from being caught in the melee. And they were like, no, we're going back out there. We want to get back out there every single chance we get. And again, I think young people need to see that these older people are fighting for them to rescue them.
Right.
But you have so many that are just, they have such an emptiness inside. And they lost hope, trust. They feel as though they have no other way. The only opportunity that's before them is the one that they're on right now, the trajectory that they're on. And they have to have what we call street credit. And a lot of this is over turf wars. It's a different type of gang that's out there now. So, you know, getting back to our show, because I don't want to spend too much time on the negative, because if we do have something negative, we want to present the positive that we can do. And I applaud Sherrif Street. I work with them on a number of projects. When he took over for Senator Kitchen, I was working that district. I still do work that district and with the seniors. And the whole idea is to, you know, it's hard to reach the young with just the young. You need a whole community to come together. And we have some opportunities that's about to come about. And it's a collaboration because we know that the system out there that we live in is just as responsible for what's going on. Because, again, you have a lack of education, right? You have a lack of support. You have a lack of care, and everyone's just trying to make it. So how can you reach these young people? It's a day by day. I mean, what do we want, more policing? Okay. So let's put that to the side a little bit. So I do want to talk about credit. How does credit really affect our community? We know this. If you lack credit, you really lack the opportunity. You do. You know, if you have proper credit, and I look at systems. There's a lot of systems out there. But one of the things, if your credit is jacked up, you it can wreak havoc on your family for generations to come. Generations to come. And we have some people that's going to come online and talk about how it really impacted their family by having their credit right. And a lot of people say, I could do without credit. And you can. You really can. You really can get by without credit. But it's going to cost you. And it can cost you dearly.
Right. And our guests can speak to this and with great passion. Welcome to the show, Wanda.
Hello.
Wait, hold up, Wanda. Good morning, Wanda.
Good morning.
And it's not just Wanda, right?
It is not. I'm just getting ready to say that. I'm getting ready to turn it over to who we've been talking about coming on the air, our VP in this generational wealth journey, which has credit care as the flagship product. So we're going to let her. We've been calling on her. We're talking about it for 2 weeks, so we're going to let her take it from here. You all know me, Wanda Unique. Now, let me introduce the Melanie Bazemore of M&B Financial Group, as well known as the affectionately known as the Credit Booster, because she has the Credit Boosters Millionaires Group. Now, you're going to say, what? Where did that come from? What did they say? Where they do that at? Well, let her tell you and tell you why.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for that awesome introduction. Thank you guys for having me on the show. I am Melody Bazemore. I'm right here out of Philadelphia, and I like to say I'm an average girl from around the way, but, you know, life happens, and we have to shift our mindset so that we can shift with the transitioning of the world, because a lot of things we just wasn't taught in our formal education, and credit and handling finances is really the first one they skipped over us with.
So, question for you. How has credit impacted your life positively and negatively, if at all? We know at some point in time your credit wasn't that great, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. That's what turned me into becoming a financial literacy coach, because honestly, I was fortunate enough to decide to make being a beautician my career. Being a young woman, single mother, I had my first child at 16 years old, you know, and I was a Catholic school student. So I came from good backgrounds, but I made some not good choices on maybe not even being educated and being young and promiscuous. You know how that happens. You know, we just exploring life. And I became pregnant early, so my choices of going to college had got off the table. We're talking in, you know, the mid-80s, so they didn't have daycares at these colleges like they do now. So I made a decision to do something else. I went out in corporate America. I was struggling with being on time. And then I seen people starting to make a lot of income in the hair world. So I went to school, got my certificate to be a cosmetologist, and I had an awesome run in that industry. But honestly, not having any financial background, I was making great money, spending it as fast as I got it. Of course, that one child wound up to being four children instead of twins on my third pregnancy. So I was a single mom. That industry took care of our household. It took care of those children. But being ignorant to money, I was living like, you know, okay, well, I paid the bills. Now I'm on my way to the mall. Being, you know, that saying, that gratitude, I worked hard, I'm going to play hard attitude. So now, fast forward, after 25 years in that industry, another industry took a financial crisis in the real estate back in 07 through 09, and I found my business going under. Now, after all the years I put in, I opened a business, you know, I'm my own boss, but I'm still not financially literate. So now when a crisis comes, I realize my credit is shot. I don't have the income cash in the savings anymore because the little bit you save when crisis comes, you're spending it.
Right.
And now I realize I need credit more than ever because the only way I can get another step is that I need a helping hand. And sometimes we can't go to our neighbor, our friend, or our family because they might be in the same situation. So I needed a bank. I need a lending institution. And for that is why I felt though I needed to be more educated. Then on the flip side, after going through a loss, after getting financially educated, I was able at 47 years old to get my first $10,000 credit card just by taking 2 to 3 months of my time to address the issues that I was facing. Because most time when we go in hardship, we run from situations instead of facing it because it causes fear, anxiety, frustration. You know, sometimes we get confused because we're so embarrassed to even apply for something because we know we're going to get denied. And more denials keeps dropping your credit score. So now you're putting yourself in a worse position because it's harder to come out of low credit. It's easy to drop your credit by missing a payment. But these are all the things that if you don't know how credit is calculated, why your credit fluctuates so much, and we need to educate each other so that you can have a better lifestyle that you desire using the credit system because people are judging you. And on finances, that is the main avenue that they have to judge you is on how you pay your bills on time. Do you stick to agreements? It's really teaching you and showing you a character of a person just through their financial spending.
Question.
And because, yes.
So is bad credit better than no credit?
Bad credit and no credit is equal because no credit is bad credit. And it's sad because the system changes, the FICO system changes yearly by yearly, because what happens is the more it seems like the middle and the lower class improve education, they change the system to make it a little harder because the gold is the country actually just benefits more because they make more interest. The country is ran off of making money off of each other, and credit is just one of the ways that they kind of put it in a
pie. I have a question.
Sure.
How, when you have no credit, how do you initially get it? And my reasoning for asking this is I didn't have any credit cards or anything like that. But when I was in college, like many people do, I got, the mail. And with that mail, I got a credit card. And then that one, the limit wasn't high. But then I went to a store and to try and get like the store discount, if you sign up for the credit card, I got a credit card with them and they gave me a hot, like it was supposed to be your store credit card. That's what I thought I was signing up for. Mm-hmm. I ended up walking out with like a $2,500 limit credit card that I could use anywhere. And my question is like, how do they calculate that? Like,
okay,
how did I get the credit to get that when as of that point in my life, I had never paid a bill. I had never done anything.
Because that's where it's like they're going to give you one opportunity, and it's your you get that one shot to see which way you're going.
Okay.
We just lost, I guess, Wanda.
Oh, yeah, but
okay, and I actually had some other questions as well. It was really getting very interesting because she was talking about you get this one shot when you're in college, and that's when you get the most credit cards is when you're in college.
Right.
Because I think they feel as though your parents are going to bail you out anyway, and you're going to run up this huge debt. And these debts are going to be sold because they know a lot of people are going to default. They know that.
Right.
You know, when I got my credit cards early on, I could not afford to pay them back. And it was a mindset like, okay, well, I just can't pay it back.
Well, what happened with me and my credit card was I was actually really responsible with it. Like for about a year.
You got your father to pay for them.
Actually, no. This isn't true. What I was doing is I was using my refund check that I would get from school. Like I would, you know, be using the credit card. Then the beginning of the next semester would come. I would get the refund check. And then whatever was left that I didn't pay off, I would use that to pay off the credit card. What happened with me was there was a delay in my check. So I didn't have the money to pay for it, and I was still using this credit card because I didn't get my check, so I didn't have food. I couldn't get anywhere. I didn't have anything, so I was just swiping this credit card. And at the time, you know, there's a lot happening, and I didn't want to have to stress you or mommy out about, you know, giving me the money. So I just, you know, was like, okay, I'll get it. You know, I just have to get it in before they close the card down. And of course, by the time I ended up getting the money, too much time had passed. They closed the account. I mean, they didn't send it to collections, which is interesting, but, you know, I couldn't use the credit card anymore. And I went from like a 7-something to a 5-something in a matter of 2.5 months. Which I was hurt about it in the time, but it didn't really affect me.
And one of the things I told you early on, Makara, I said, at all costs, protect your credit.
Yeah, but when
I gave you that speech of how important it was.
And I stand by, when you are at school and broke, you're going to use what you have to get by.
That is true. And I, you know, I say this from experience, and I watch my mother. My mother had bad credit. And this is one of the questions that I wanted to ask them before hopefully we can get them back on the call and we can ask them this question is, what is the fastest way to repair your credit or to get credit?
Mm-hmm.
And I know of some ways what my mother did. She sort of borrowed someone else's credit. And that's how she built her credit, is through someone else who sort of co-signed or gave her a credit card, the same way I did you, Makara. You just pass it down. And, you know, that's very risky, though, when you do it for a number of people, because it can impact your credit if that person's not responsible. So you are taking a chance. Just like if you have great credit and you co-sign for a vehicle and they don't pay that vehicle off, you're risking. I've known people have done it with houses.
Right.
And their credit has suffered because of it. And it only makes you, you know, not want to do it for people, but, you know, someone has helped me, you want to pay it forward to
help them.
Help them, but it's at a risk. It is at a risk. So you got to be very smart about who you're going to help.
Right. And I would say moving forward, this next thing is not about credit, but it is it's still very important. And when you was talking about paying it forward, it led me to the mindset of leaving a legacy and having, you know, everything in order. And we have William Thompson on the phone.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. How are we?
Good morning, Mr. Thompson. How are you?
I am fantastic. The sun is shining bright. You know, I'm on this side of glory, so there's nothing to complain about.
Amen. Amen, my brother. So, again, we're talking about credit and how important that is, but leaving a legacy where we don't, at least in a lot of the minority communities, there's always debt that's being left. Yeah. And as opposed to hope, opportunity, and prosperity. So you're coming from another perspective of leaving prosperity through something that a lot of us consider as sort of taboo. You get insurance and, hey, you know, I don't want anybody profiting off my death.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, that's how it's looked at in a lot of the minority or people of color communities. You know, I just want to leave enough money to bury my behind. I used to tell people, just put me in a trash bag. Yeah. Put me out of trash. Don't spend any expense on me. Matter of fact, I picked out my trash. It was Glad trash bags. I wanted the heavy duty trash bag. Don't put me in that cheap flex. No. I want
the heavy duty.
Yes, heavy duty. So, Mr. Thompson,
yes.
You already stated who you are. What company are you representing?
I'm representing No Drama Insurance. We are a marketing financial organization that serves the Philadelphia, Montgomery, Delaware, Bucks County, Chester County, and the tri-state area in terms of their life insurance, health insurance, and property and casualty. For those who do not know what that means, that is your renter's insurance, your homeowner's insurance, commercial insurance, things of that nature.
Wow, that's a lot.
And No yeah, Drama, the No Drama Insurance, let me help out with this jingle. See, No Drama Insurance. See, this is what happens. When you don't have insurance, you leave nothing but drama. Your family's fighting. Who's going to pay for that? How can we cover this? And this sorry son of a gun left nothing. So therefore, you have drama. And here's the other problem. When you're looking for insurance, it's nothing but drama because no one can give you straight talk. So it's a hassle. And then you wind up not getting it because it's drama. So call No Drama Insurance. Will. William.
At 215-239-1828. That's 215-239-1828. Michael, I love that jingle.
Take the drama. Take the drama out of getting insurance. Leave a legacy. So call No Drama Insurance. And for that number, it is...
215-239-1828. We are here and ready to serve anybody that has a heartbeat. It doesn't matter. We are here to cover you. All the misconceptions that you're too old or you can't qualify because of your health, that is a false reality. So I'm telling anyone who is listening, please call 215-239-1828 for us to give you a free benefit review, so that we can find out how we can serve you better.
So, Mr. Thompson, how is it that having insurance could help leave a legacy?
Well, the idea of insurance is to take on the risk for the insured. Therefore, you don't carry the burden of the financial responsibilities to leave down to the rest of the family. So to move forward and answer that question, Michael, it really is, for instance, let me just make it simple. You pull out a $100,000 policy, right? And this is designed for Makara, okay, your daughter. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, the idea of insurance is to say, okay, Makara, this is the intentions of what I want this $100,000 to be used for as you being the beneficiary. So Michael can say, okay, I have a business or we have property. Makara, this is the funds that you will need to carry the family forward. Mm-hmm. Okay. It is a tax-free check from the life insurance carrier in the event of death or disability. This check will be issued. Now, I don't know if anyone really heard what I just said.
Tax-free.
But here's the problem with that. If I don't have a great relationship with my daughter, she, if I get too close to the edge of the roof, what is this little shove coming from?
She can call me and we help push you off.
I wasn't there. Troy's my alibi.
So a lot of times people think, well, then, hey, they may be rooting for me to expire a lot sooner. So I guess in minority community, that's why you consider it taboo. But I think we had this conversation before. There are a number of organizations that started off of a life insurance policy.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
major institutions that have started. So God said a wise man leaves something for his children's children. And when you don't have hope, opportunity, and prosperity, we have chaos. And that's exactly what we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no vision. And life insurance could really be a vision, correct?
That's correct.
So go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting. Oh, Tori wants to ask something.
And Mr. Thompson, sure. I just wanted to, did that policy take an effect as soon as you apply, or is it a 2-year? Because, you know, some insurance companies say you have to wait 2 years, a year.
Yes, that is correct. There are provisions in the policy. So I'm going to try and make it fast, but very simple. There is, if you take a policy, a life insurance policy, where you did no medical background underwriting. And what that means is they're just not asking any medical questions, okay? It will be given to you for full benefit. Example, say we write a $10,000 policy for you, and we don't ask you any medical questions. You will have to wait 2 or 3 years, depending on the insurance carrier issuing the policy, for you to receive the full benefit of the policy. Now, if we were writing a term policy on you and you were healthy and we asked you the 15 medical questions without doing blood work, that is called simplified issued. It can be, the policy will be installed day one. However, the insurance carrier has the right for 2 years from the date of inception, meaning funds have been transferred from your bank account to the insurance company, to review your medical records to ensure that you did not falsify any information on the application. Now, if they come to see that something happened on that you went to the doctors, let's say 6 months in, and found out you had cancer, that does not count. It only counts prior to you filling out the applications based at the point in time that you answered the question. After that 2-year look period, they cannot take away the benefit. So if you passed away a year and a half, they will go through your medical records to ensure that you were very honest about all the information. If you did not know that you had an issue, say you passed from terminal cancer within 6 months of the policy, they still have to issue the policy because there's nothing in your medical records that would have given you any inclination that there was some sort of issue.
Mr. Thompson, I know why Troy asked you that question. And it's very important because he's moonlighting. He has another job, and he wants to see if he can actually get insurance. And what he's doing is he got employed as a bomb tester. He takes a hammer and he bangs on the bombs to see if they're live. And I guess, Troy, how long do you expect? Because they're paying you a lot of money, right? Because you haven't come across a live round.
I wish.
Oh, you're not getting paid. So are there any provisions or riders that prohibit you from getting insurance based on how you're...
Well, let's talk about what is a rider.
Yes. Oh, so a rider is an addition to the principle of the policy. So, for instance, a rider could be an accelerated benefit, whether it's a critical, chronic, or terminal illness rider. It could be an additional term benefit. It could be a reduced paid up option rider benefit. These are extra benefits attached to the principle of the policy. Each carrier has different riders. Some are pretty common, others are not. They have child riders, which works out for some people because trying to insure a sick child is very difficult to do. So a lot of the underwriting is not done for the child rider. So therefore you can get your child some insurance until they turn the age of 25. And at that point, you know, they're now an adult and you can get them, you know, another level of insurance. So there are a lot of different riders. Again, a rider is an attachment to the principle of the policy.
Sounds good. That's good information, sound information.
If he is really a bomb expert in tapping on bombs, I will say occupation is, depending on some carriers, a risk that they do not want to take. And I use the word risk because they're looking at adverse selection.
Right, like if you're a sky, if you're a skydiver,
they're like,
you're a race car driver.
I believe it's that if you pass away in anything other than a commercial airline, they don't cover it. Is that correct?
For some. Yes, for some carriers, especially simplified issue underwriting, it will be an absolute no. Now,
another question along with that: does where you live at play? Like if you live in the, as I say, the hood,
No.
Okay.
No, they cannot. They cannot discriminate based on location. They can only discriminate on occupation and medical health.
So there's no reason why we shouldn't have insurance for them, right?
That's correct.
Especially at the way some of us are.
Oh, and motor vehicle. Excuse me.
Troy, you're riding a rocket ship around, so we may have to change that.
On riders, what riders do you think people tend to overlook that could really leave a lasting impact on their families?
The biggest one that I see is the accelerated benefits, which are the critical, chronic, and terminal illness rider, I think are the best riders. Out there, because depending on the carrier, they offer from usually between 60 to 95% of the face amount of your policy to be able to be given to your family while you are alive. Hence why I said earlier, any event of your death or disability, life insurance is not only now designed for you to when you pass away, it's also designed for while you're alive. So if you need to access those kinds of funds while you're alive because you're no longer able to perform your daily living activities, you've been termed having a terminal illness, or you have cancer and you are disabled for a couple years, you are able to access the funds while you are alive, which is why they call it accelerated. And you can, obviously, through your doctor's notes and things of that nature and given to an insurance company, they will give you access to the face amount that you have purchased. So if you have $100,000, they can give you $75,000, depending on what the particular carrier's accelerated percentage is up to. You can get access to those funds to take care of your bills, to take care of anything that you need, to keep yourself and family surviving.
So we're talking about life insurance. But you cover all types of insurances, and you know, I like J Lo. She insured her behind, right? So you can insure anything, correct?
That's correct.
You could benefit. Right, let's say if you get certain type of insurance, and you have, I guess you lose a finger, a hand. Now, this is what type of insurance is that we're talking about?
Dismemberment, or. Yeah, so like there's certain carriers that will just really focus on body parts and dismemberment. So you know your hand gets chopped off, or you are protecting an asset that's most valuable to you, and so that is on your physical body.
So Troy, if I lose my head, then I'm entitled to.
Right.
I'm always losing my head over something. Yeah.
You know, mental incapacity, or like I said, if someone's really good at drawing, so they cover their hands. You know, because that's how they make money.
Right.
J-Lo, things of that nature, there's...
It seems as though insurance...
Money.
Seems like insurance could be used for so many different things, for opportunities as well. We know that insurance has been around for a very long time. We're talking about thousands of years, actually. Companies have been around for hundreds of years, the same companies. Because insurance, from what I understand, insurance companies, their whole outlook is not to take a risk, but to manage other people's risks. Is that correct?
So, yes. Yeah, so they take on the risk with the actuaries, meaning the numerics, that they will make more money based on the premiums that you pay in the long run than them actually paying out what it is that you've acquired based on your premium amount. So it's a gamble that the insurance company, again, risk avoidance. They're trying to say, okay, you're healthy, so we'll give you $200,000, but we'll give you a 30-year term. We're banking on the fact that you're really healthy, that you'll outlive it in 30 years. Okay, so we'll make more money by reinvesting it into the stock market, things of that nature, than it's going to cost us for you to pass away in 2 years to give up $200,000.
So let's talk about some of these other insurance companies. Like, we know one that there's a famous animal that quacks.
Aflac.
Yes. I don't know if we could say that, but we just said it. But that insurance is based on you, in a way, profiting by getting hurt. Is that a good way to phrase that? Because, but you are profiting from being hurt.
So, yes. Okay,
I stubbed my toe. Oh, that's a $2,000 thing there. Ooh, I'm going to stub the other toe as well.
You stubbed, right. So,
matter of fact, I got 10 toes, so that's $20,000 for each toe.
Stub away.
Stub away.
No, it's a risk that they're willing to take because they say, hey, we know, based on numbers, most people don't go to the hospital. Why? Because they don't want to get a hospital bill. They don't take care of themselves. So now it's costing you more money, just like a car, right? Okay. You have a tire. It's getting bald. You haven't gotten it replaced. You know you need to, but you're trying to hold on longer and longer. The first pothole you hit, your tire blows. So not only have you messed up your tire, you've messed up your rim. You could possibly mess up your axle, depending on what you hit when you hit the ground. You've caused yourself financially more harm than you ever had to do than just going to get the tire changed for $30-$40, right? So now the quacking duck has said, hey, we'll pay you to go take care of it right now because it's going to cost you way less and cost us way less.
And I don't want to really reference that duck too much because from what I understand, we can actually through you provide another way that there's a how can I phrase this a cheaper way of going.
Yes, there's always cheaper ways of going, and that's why you always have to talk to a broker, right? A broker's job is to, like myself and like Makara, a broker's job is to be able to find the best rate for the most amount of coverage without sacrificing any benefits. Okay? Our job is to tailor it specific to what it is that your needs are.
Well, we have another minute. I'm sorry. Sure, we just have another minute left. And so we can wrap it up.
I actually just want to say really quickly, there is a rider that exists that if something happens to you, you won't lose the account, right? Like, because I know if you don't pay for your insurance over time, you can lose it. But there is a rider that if for some reason you become disabled, your insurance can still stay in place, correct?
That is correct. That is correct. Basically, how it works is if you can't pay your monthly premiums, if it's a interest-bearing account, meaning whole life, they will utilize the funds from the cash benefit to pay the premiums, or they will give you up to 6 months to a year to be able to, it's called waiver premium, and you can waive your premiums for an X period amount of time. Therefore, you don't lose your policy. So there's two ways to go about it. You can borrow from your policy to pay with the cash value to pay your premiums, or there's a waiver of premium, which means your premium is waived for a period amount of time. So therefore, you don't lose the policy based on your present circumstances as to why you can't pay the premium.
Thank you, William. You're listening to WWDB. You're listening to Michael Sloan and
Makara Sloan.
And we have our guest in here, William Thompson. We had Wanda Davis and we had Troy here. We still didn't have a lot to, we didn't finish the program, but you know something? Next week, I promise I'm going to get really into this and go over all the great things that we have set up for our communities. Thank you, folks.
Thank you for listening to WWDB. I'm Makara Sloan.
And I'm Michael Sloan. And hey.
And don't forget about your pop-up shop. You said you're going to do it Monday.
Yes, we do have a pop-up. We're going to be giving away a lot of stuff on this day. It's going to be in the Ogun section. It's a Redemption church. It's Pastor Hewitt Coward's church at the 7700 block of Ogun's Avenue.
And this Friday, I'll be broadcasting live from Senator Vincent Hughes' clergy breakfast. So make sure you stay tuned to the morning show.
Make it amazing, folks. Wake up, Philly.
Have a great day.
We got to change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time.